Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
In the Old Testament. So, for you to understand the work of Jesus Christ, you must understand the Old Testament. There was nothing Jesus did that was against the New Old Testament. Jesus said that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. To fulfill it means that my prophecy is in the Old Testament, and I cannot go against my prophecy. So Jesus, please give me attention. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament by fulfilling certain scriptures that pertain to him. Now, if you don't understand this, you may find it very difficult to defend the scriptures. So, I perceive that maybe in about 20 years from now, or 50 years, if we do not change our approach to church, the way we do church, if we do not change our strategy, in 20, 30 years now, maybe you will be almost, you'll be 60, Abby, or almost 60. Huh? You have a lot of 50. You say 50? You start having some gray hairs. Then you will now see what the church has become, and you will say, ah, God forbid. Do you understand? Maybe Sunday now, we have a lot of gray hairs. Then you remember that there was a time pastor was speaking and he said this. When you go to court, you'll notice that a lot of times the lawyers are referring to dead people. This case versus this case. This was what the judge ruled. Huh? Then this other case versus this other case. This is what the state ruled. You are wondering, who are these people? You are hearing their name for the first time. But it's your case, so it's your police case, so court case. But they are mentioning dead people. So there is nothing that is happening to you. There is no crime that anybody will commit now, that somebody has not committed before, that they did not rule or on that thing in the court. The same thing when you look at the life of Jesus or what it means to be a Christian. Why did Jesus have to die? Have you thought about it? Why didn't God just say, okay, if you believe in me, you'll be fine? Or you people should keep killing animals. Why is it that there are religions today that are built on killing of animals? That's because they couldn't move. That's all they saw. So please, I like you to put this down. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. Just write it down in your note. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. Now, have you heard of that term before, the Passover lamb? Huh? Who has not heard of it? Please wave if you have not heard of it. So this is one of the... Okay, do you remember their final day in Egypt? When God told them to sacrifice a lamb. Are you with me? You see, if you follow what I'm telling you, the Old Testament will not be boring to you again. So God told them to sacrifice a lamb and use the blood. Huh? You remember that story? Put it on top. Have you heard this story before? On their doorpost. And God says that when the angel of death passes over their house, it will go over them. And that if there was anybody that was not in that house, the person would die. This was my message in Lekki on Sunday. So, last week I made a statement on Tuesday. I said, every Christian is under the blood of Jesus 21st. Do you remember? Aha. But you can take yourself out. And I told you that there are two things you can do. Do you remember? There are only two things that can take you out of the covering of the blood of Jesus. Do you remember I said something like that? So what are those things? I said rebellion. And what? Huh? Idolatry. Idolatry. Please, I will keep coming back to this point. Because we are in an era now where a lot of people are worshipping the creature instead of the creator. And they think that because the things are working for them, like, have you heard the universe is working for me? Have you seen all those quotes on Instagram? As you go out today, the universe is blessing you. So people are worshipping the creature. The universe, this earth, is a creature of God. But when people tell you that the universe is in your favor, you are going to be rich, you are going to be healthy, the universe is saying good things about you, because of the things that they are saying, they are good things, somewhere in your mind, you feel it's okay to say it. But you have entered into idolatry. And idolatry automatically exposes you. Because the idea of being under the blood of Jesus is that you cannot save yourself. That's the idea. God said, and we don't have time, maybe I'm going to this scripture, maybe another time. God said it in the book of, is it Deuteronomy 12 or Leviticus 12? He said, nobody must come out of the house. If you're a pastor and you come out of your house after the house has been anointed with blood, you will die. That was the instruction. And everything you see in the Old Testament is a type and shadow of what? The New Testament. Please, I want you to put this down. Anything you see in the Old Testament is a what? Type and shadow of what? The New Testament. What do I mean by type and shadow? I need a prototype. Yes, give me a simpler term. An example. So, yes, if Mama, if we want to build a house, let's say 10-story building, they will call an architect. They will come and look at the land. Then they will design what the building will look like by the time they finish. So they can even put it in the chairman's office that, this is what we are building for you. Are we familiar with such things? So that's the Old Testament. That thing you saw, that by the time we finish building Harvest Hall Assembly Headquarters, this is the way it will look like. Amen. Yeah. So you see it with gallery and speakers everywhere, a big auditorium, and with a lot of rooms for small meetings, children church, where we can even play table tennis, you know, and maybe video game or something. So we have all kind of things there, you know, training room. So all those things, you come to my office, you will see it in a corner. That's it's an example that by the time we are through with this building, this is what it will look like. Now, if by the time we are dedicating the building, you've been coming to my office, you now can notice like it's like the roof is different. Then there's one place here, one parking lot here. You did not see parking lot, you saw toilet. Then you went to the back because you used to play with that example, that prototype. They're supposed to, when you enter the building, you're supposed to see one office here. You did not see anything. They put chair there. Maybe the architect did not, or maybe they did not follow the plan that the architect built. I'm using this example to tell you, when you read Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all those things that you saw God telling the Israelites to do, they were pointing to Christ. So when you read the Old Testament, you should not be seeing anything except Christ. Please put that down in your note. When I read the Old Testament, I should not be seeing any other thing except Christ. Is this simple enough? I want you to get it too, so that we are laying foundation, Christian foundation today. And I'm going to take my time as much as the Lord gives me the grace. This one now is teaching, so you must get it. Even if you don't speak English, you must get it. If you speak French, and you're in this service, you must get it. So what are the things I ask you to write down? Please, somebody read it out to me. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. And I explained that for him to be the Passover lamb, it means that the same way the Israelites offered the sacrifice, and that was the day that they left Egypt. Passover. This was the lamb upon which they crossed over. Are you with me now? So the same way, through Jesus Christ, we left the kingdom of darkness into what? The kingdom of God. That's why it's called Passover. It's not a nice name. It's because he's passing over something. Huh? It's very important for you to understand this. Because there is salvation in no other except the name of Jesus Christ. What else did I ask you to write down? Huh? Everything you see in the Old Testament is pointing to Christ. Now, I want you to put down your note. The work of atonement is an everlasting work. The work of atonement, that is the work that Jesus did, is an everlasting work. That means that there is no further need for atonement that will be done, because Jesus has already shed his blood. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 34. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 34. If you have this in the Living Bible, please, let's use the Living Bible today. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 34. Look at the screen, please. This shall be an everlasting law for you. Come on, say everlasting. To make atonement for the people of Israel. How many times? Once each year, because of what? Their sins. And Aaron followed all these instructions that the Lord gave to Moses. So before now, what they had was what we call a stopgap. A stopgap is something that just use this for now. We are bringing the main thing. It's just like if you are cooking at home and your gas, got exhausted, then you call them to get you some gas. They'll say, okay, we are bringing a small cylinder. Use that one to cook. We'll bring the main one later. So it's like everything here proved one thing. That animal they were killing every year, it was only valid for how long? 1 year. That means if you came to the high priest this year and offered your animal, your ram or sheep, and next year you became angry at the priest because you greeted him at the market, he did not answer you. You now refuse to bring your atonement offering. This is called atonement offering. Huh? Your sins for that following year will be very visible before God, and you will attract God's judgment. Don't forget what I told you. That God said to the Israelites, nobody must come out of the house. Once the blood covers you, you must not come out. That's the only way you will be secured. This thing I'm saying is very important. If you get what I'm saying now, your confidence in Christ will become very high. Because as long as you are under the covering of the blood, there are certain things you will benefit. There are certain things that will work for you. That's why I said to you that this work of atonement is an everlasting work. Because what they had to do before was only valid for 1 year. Are you with me? So aren't you excited? Because now some people now are already saving for the RAM for next year, and or maybe this year, I don't know when. And you may not have money to eat, but you must get that RAM. If not, your sins will not be forgiven. But Jesus Christ has addressed the matter of sin once and for all. Hallelujah. Once and for all, listen to me, you are more privileged than Elijah. You are more privileged than Jeremiah. All these big prophets of old, you are more privileged. Because they prophesied about it, but you got an opportunity to experience it. So in the Old Testament, which was a type and shadow, they must atone for their sins every year. But for us in the New Testament, our sins have been atoned for once and for all. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Now, there's something I want to show you here. And I want to implore you. Do your best to believe the Bible. Hallelujah. Do your best to believe the Bible. Please put up that scripture. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Or maybe I should read. But I want us to read together. Are we good? In fact, we can say that under the old agreement there is talking about the old covenant or the Old Testament. We can say, you see, they called it old because it's no more valid because Jesus has come, all right? Almost everything was cleansed by sprinkling it with what? Now, I want you to see something here. This matter of blood is not just in the Christian faith. Oh. Those in the occultic realm, they know blood. They use it. I was listening to one brother's testimony, you know, yesterday. An American, very young guy. And he was talking about how, I think this was around COVID year. When a lot of musicians and movie stars in America, the popular ones that you know, they noticed that they were not becoming as influential as they used to be. They were not so popular again. They now noticed that there was something that was in vogue. They call it influencers. There was something people were calling influencers. Who are these influencers? Many of them were very young boys, young girls who had YouTube channels, Instagram channels. Some of them had 1 million followers. You know, like, So, and you see the way people engage on their channels. So what they did, because most of those movie stars and musicians, they are in secret court. They are in secret court. But most of you don't know. You'll be dancing. As you are dancing, you are worshiping the person they are also worshiping. So they started inviting many of those popular influencers to come to what they call house party. House party is popular in the US. So they call them for this thing they call house party. So they were even excited when they saw one of those popular guys. Yeah, come on, join us. Join me at my house. Like, wow. Like, it's just like, just imagine your favorite movie star coming to your shop and giving you invitation. We have a party this Friday. Come. And when they came in, they collected their phones so that you won't record anything. And they were taking them from room to room, initiation by initiation, before they started the re-meeting. So this boy at the final stage, they asked him, what were you before you came to this? Are you a Muslim or a Christian? If you say you're a Christian, they will bring a Bible, put a cross on it, and ask you to say some words to reject the authority of the Bible, to reject Jesus Christ, and then they will... The guy now say, me, I'm not very spiritual, though, but this one I cannot do. He said the moment he refused, they did not argue with him, you just noticed the eyes of everybody in that room changed. The people that were smiling with him, their eyes changed. They now referred to him as one word. They said, take the profane out of this place. Take the profane. Go and recite the word profane. P-R-O-F-A-N-E. They use Bible language. They say, this guy is cursed. He cannot be amongst us. But what were they doing? They were playing with blood. They were drinking blood.
They were doing all kind of things that we could not describe here. So this matter of blood is not only in the Bible. Look at what the scripture says. He said, put up that scripture, please. He said, everything must be cleansed with blood. Come on, say everything. Everything must be cleansed with blood. That's how important the matter of blood is, or how the blood of Jesus, how important it is. Because even after Jesus died, his blood was used to cleanse the heavens. The heavens. Heavens that are already holy. They are holy there. The blood just was used to, and this place is not clean enough. Oh yeah, clean everything. He said, and without the shedding of blood, there is no what? Please, let's look at the screen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no what? Listen to me. This is the word of the Lord, and I want you to believe it. Being a good person, being a nice person, helping less privileged people, giving people money, there's something we call zakat. I believe, what they call it? Giving less privileged people or beggars, sadaka, all those things, is not strong enough to grant you forgiveness. There was a man in the Bible that used to, you know, do all these things. In fact, he even built a church. He built a temple in Israel. An angel appeared to him and told him, go and look for Peter so that you can be saved. These things you are doing, they are good, though, but we want to help you so everything will not be wasted. There's one man, his name is Peter. Go and get him now. Let him preach the gospel to you. If not, you will do all these things and go to hell. So what if I need to be saved? What is the remedy? Look, from what is it? The blood of Jesus. He said, without the shedding of the blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. It is a statement of fact. It is not a suggestion. Well, on a lighter note, I hope you know that all of us, we are going to hell in the other person's religion. The way they are also going to hell in our own religion. You know, I thought about it recently. I said, this is serious. Like, okay. It's a news flash. It's a news flash. That for those who are worshipping cows and animals in India, in their own religion, all of you are going to hell. For those who believe that Jesus is a Muslim, if you read the book of Hebrews, that's why if you want to read this, go and get Living Bible. That's why I'm not using King James. Living Bible, maybe NIV, but Living Bible, the old Living Bible. You will understand this thing very well. Next scripture, Leviticus 17:11. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given this to you on the altar to make an atonement for your soul. Please, I want to look at this scripture. Please look at your screen. Please, this matter of blood is very important. This is how a Christian remains righteous. This is how a sinner becomes righteous. This is how a sinner or a Christian is when he commits a sin. This is how his sins will be forgiven. He said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given you the blood, can you see it, to sprinkle upon the altar as what? What is the word atonement? What does it mean? Payment. Payment. If your younger brother or younger sister, you went out and you go back and you heard, she went to the next house. She fell on top of their TV. In this economy, you did not see anything to fall on. You fell on somebody's TV or on the new, their father has this iPhone 15 that he just bought and he left it somewhere and it fell from your hand and the thing did not start again. Meanwhile, you are looking for your house rent. Then your younger sister went to Chokbese somewhere. Fell on somebody's side. You did not see stone to fall on. You fell on iPhone 15. So when you come, because you're a rich man, you now say, I'm so sorry, Mr. Kunle. Why did you do that? After he talked, just okay. Ah, what do we do now? No, I don't want to hear any story. He said, no, it's okay. Just call me. Say, Pastor, that your phone guy, that's, you know. I say, Joseph. He say, yes. I need iPhone 15. I say, now. I say, mine is 10% too. He say, no problem. Then they bring the phone. The moment you hand it over to Mama and say, Mama, this is your new phone. You have made what? An atonement. You've made payment. That man cannot see your younger sister on the road tomorrow and harass her. You've collected your phone. So what is the mode of payment that God says he will accept? Look at that scripture again. Put it up. He said, I have given you the blood. I have given you the blood. I have given you the blood of Jesus. I have given you the blood to sprinkle upon the altar as an atonement for your soul. Your soul is separated from God. Your soul can never be righteous. Your soul does not love God. But with the blood of Jesus, we can repair that problem. He said, for it is the blood that can make atonement. Because it is what? The life. This is beautiful. Go and download Living Bible on your phone. The Living Bible. Not Living anything. The Living Bible. So you're not going to be reading wrong thing. This is beautiful. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that you have the solution in your hands? That every time you feel you have done something and you don't know what to do, you are feeling guilty, you feel you have sinned against God, what did God say you should call upon? His blood. Say, it is the blood. I have given it to you. I have given it to you. This is the blood that breaks curses. This is the blood that guarantees your deliverance. This is the blood that will make you well. He said, I have given you the blood because it has life. Your soul has death, but my own blood has life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When a man is in Christ, it is the blood of Jesus that makes him righteous. That means you are always righteous. On 24 hours of the day, 365 days a year, you are righteous, not because of what you have done, but because of who is in you. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, Revelation 1:5. I don't know if we have so much time right now. I will keep teaching this thing because I want us to get it. They sound very simple, but this is the foundation of what it means to be a Christian. This is the foundation. And from Jesus Christ, who faithfully reveals, come on, say reveals. Jesus Christ faithfully, he is not hiding anything from us. Jesus Christ wants you to know that your sins are forgiven. It doesn't matter if you feel bad. Your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said your sins are forgiven. There are some of you, you've asked God forgiveness, but you've refused to forgive yourself. God is not like you. The moment you ask, he will forgive you. Amen. He said, Jesus Christ, who faithfully reveals all truth to us, he was the first to rise from the dead, to die no more. Come on, say Jesus is alive. So when Jesus says to you that your sins are forgiven, he will stand behind that word. He will not leave you there to be feeling one. The moment he says you are forgiven, you are truly forgiven. He was the first to rise from the dead to die no more. He is far greater. Come on, say far greater. He is far greater than any king. I love this version. I love this version. He said he is by far greater than any king in all the earth. All praise to him who always loves us and who sets us free from our sins by doing what? By pouring out his lifeblood for us. Hallelujah. How did he make us free? By pouring out his blood. By pouring out his blood. By pouring out, Jesus doesn't have any blood again. He poured everything out for us. He gave everything to us. Hallelujah. That's why when he rose up from the dead and Thomas saw him, he said to Thomas, come and touch me. Right? He said, for a ghost does not have flesh and bone.
He doesn't have blood again. Flesh and bone. Eh? Flesh and bone. So when you look at his hand, that hole, you will not see blood. He shed everything for you and myself. Everything. There is no sinner. There is nobody. There is no homosexual. There is no lesbian. No matter how bad your sins are. He said, though your sin be red as scarlet. He said, I will make it white as snow. Your sin may be red. My blood is also red. But what will come out to be white? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't leave this place feeling guilty. The solution is in your hands. Don't leave here feeling like the devil has the upper hand. Listen to me, you have the upper hand. The blood is the answer. The blood is the commodity that is respected in the heavenly realms. When they tell you are not qualified, tell them Jesus says I'm qualified. Tell them the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. I have not come in my own righteousness. If you look at me, you may not like me, but I have not come in my name. I have come in the name of the one who loved me, the one who saw me, the one who saw hope in me, the one who said, let us give him a chance. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, that is the commodity that everybody in the heavenly realm, that's what they fear. And that's what they respect. A lot of people are battling with guilty conscience because they don't know the power of the blood. A lot of people are struggling. They want to deliver themselves from sin on their own. But the solution is the blood. And God, God's word says in Leviticus 17:11, he said, I have given it to you. Come on, say, I have given it to you. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. You see, the matter of sin is a very important matter that must be addressed, especially when you are just coming to Christ, or especially as you are growing in Christ. You need to know what Jesus has done, so that nobody will tell you rubbish. A lot of people are standing in front of the camera. A lot of people are standing in front of that small phone with their 2 megabytes on TikTok, and they are saying rubbish because they don't know this Bible. Just open the Bible and read. You will see the foolishness in the hearts of many people. Say, if you do good, if your good is more than your evil, when you die, God knows that nobody is perfect, you will go to heaven. You know, many years ago, we are going towards Ningi. You don't know where Ningi is, don't worry. The only person that knows where Ningi is now is this lady here, Anatu. So we have one big farm. Ningi is in Bauchi State, too. Very far, inside one village like that. So I was a young boy, I was in primary school. So I was asking my father this question. This thing, you know. I said, Dad, how can I be sure? Because somehow, they say this thing no sure. Me, I know if he make him. I don't know. But let me ask. There might be extra information somewhere. I asked my dad. I said, how can a man be sure that when he dies, he will make heaven? My dad told me. He said, and my dad is a sincere man, no? He said, that if you do good, you do be good. Do a lot of good things. He said, if your good is more than your evil, when you die and you see God, you will go to heaven. I said, okay. When I now became a Christian, I ran back. Hey! I said, I have seen it. Come. I said, I've seen it. My dad said, what? I said, I have found it. I said, except a man be born. My father was angry. I said, this one is better than your own now. Okay, if you say I should do good, how do I know how much good I have done? Maybe the good I did was one point. But the evil I did, even though just 3, 100 point. So that means I would not make it. I'm not even sure. Until they tell you that, you made it. You are not, you know, it's like you write an exam. You are not waiting for result. You are not sure.
Even though you try to do your best, but you are not sure. It's what the lecturer says. If the lecturer says, and some of you, they say you fail, you cannot argue, because even that is that you just managed to write something. Nobody say you know you submit anything inside the book. But you see, look, put up that scripture. Eh? Put up that scripture. Are you blessed this evening? Say, for God sent Jesus Christ to take the punishment for our sin and to end all God's anger against us. Listen to me. When Adam sinned against God, God was angry. Hello? Let me tell you. A woman made I was listening to something, and I think a woman was talking. She used to be in the occult before she became a Christian. She now made a statement. She said, many of us that are Christians don't know how the spiritual realm works. The woman said, if your father committed a crime, you, the child, you are 2 years old. When your father committed that crime, you did not know anything about it. Let's say he killed somebody. Huh? You now grew up. You started having problems. Then when they started praying, they said something is wrong with your bloodline. That is your generational foundation, your pattern. Say you will not understand. The lady now said, in the spiritual realm, as long as it is the same blood that is in that man, that is in your own, it is the same person that committed the crime. That's weighty. That's strong. Are you hearing what the person said? If it's the same person, the same blood in that person that is in your own, he said, we will treat you as if you are the one that committed the crime, because it's his bloodline we use to trace. We don't look at face. His blood we use. Fight them. The same way, when you read this scripture, because of what Adam did, put on that scripture, God was angry at all of us. Were you the one that ate the thing that Adam ate? But God said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Lord. So what did Adam lose when he sinned? The glory of God. The thing that made the lion see Adam and worship him. The thing that made Adam enter the water, look at a fish, a big fish, and say, you will be called shark. And the thing said, yes, sir. That honor of a king, that now you cannot even go into the water if you don't wear some equipment. That thing that we lost, look how the scripture said. He said, God sent Jesus to take away the punishment. So we have been under punishment for so long, and we didn't know. We started inventing a lot of things, computers, machines, to reduce the problem we were facing. Sometimes in those days when we have farm, we will plant so many seeds. Sometimes one insect will just come and destroy everything that we have. So those of you that have been to farm before, or maybe if you plant maize or corn, you just notice at the time of harvest, some insects will come and begin to eat the corn, the cob, while it is still there. So these things are like what? They are punishment. Look how the scripture say. He said God sent Jesus to end God's anger. God sent Jesus. See, when you read the Bible, you will learn a lot of things. Even when you think you have known the Bible, when you open it and read again, it's like you have seen what you already know. You are now learning it in a new way. You begin to appreciate God. That when I came to Jesus, what they removed from my head was God's vengeance. God's vengeance because of what our father did. And some of you that say it's not possible, not possible. Are there not people that have offended your mom or your dad that you know of? And you know that if their children come here now, you not allow them enter your house. Yes or yes? So why do you believe it's not possible for somebody to inherit his father's problem? Please, do you understand what I said? If I ever did something against you, Yele, that thing so pained you. 10 years later, you see my son. So I'm supposed to say, stay there. Don't enter my house. My son may not know why you have rejected him. Maybe he's looking for a job or something. You say, maybe your dad collected the woman that he was supposed to marry. Eh? The woman you truly love. And I used my own style, collected the woman from. So you now have to go and marry somebody else, option 2. Eh? But you kept quiet that.
we'll go meet. It was my son that now came. You are the MD of Chevron. Me, I've forgotten. I'm now living in the village. But when you saw my son's eyes, I know this face. What's your name? Say, you cannot get work here. Don't pay. Don't bother to apply. You know, go get work here. The boy will live there with many questions. He doesn't know. That's the same thing that God is talking about. When Adam sinned, he incurred God's anger on all human race. And the assignment that God sent Jesus on this earth to do was to remove that anger. Put up that scripture. Isn't God a good God? Huh? God is a good God. I don't know why people are not serving him. If you can see this kind of information, why are you not serving him? Why are you adding God and Satan together? Somebody that is already condemned, that will still be punished, is your best friend. Meanwhile, Jesus has come to give you life. But because Jesus is simple, he doesn't force anybody. He says, hey, let me make you go stay there. Look at what Jesus came to do. To remove what? To remove what? God's anger. He used Christ's blood and our faith. Can you see it? Can you see the scripture? Can you see your screen? Is it showing? He said he used Christ's blood and our faith as a means of saving us from his wrath. That word wrath means anger. In this way, he was being entirely fair. God gave everybody a fair chance. If you do not agree with what your father do, oh yeah, come and believe in me. Because what your father did was that he stopped believing in me and started believing in the serpent. It's not about the fruit alone. It's about change of commitment, allegiance, worship, authority. He was being entirely fair. Even though he did not punish those who sinned in former times, he was looking forward to the time when Christ will come and take away those sins. Can you see it? So all the times they were offering animals once a year to cover the sin for you and your family every year. How much is ram now? Maybe 500,000 or 1.2. The one we bought last one. 1.2. Now imagine that even Christians now need this ram every year. How much do you think will be? That means some people, their sin will not be forgiven for 5 years. People will even buy the ram. You have to be watching the ram because overnight something can happen to that ram. The ram that you saw like this, oh her, in the morning like this, you will only see empty. You will see the food that the ram ate and left. Somebody has carried the ram. In those days of I better pass my gen, somebody will disconnect your gen while it is still working and cross the fence. You will just see that the gen is working there. It's like it's shaking. Then the gen no go work again. Say, maybe before I don't finish, they don't carry the gen around. Some people have been stealing for a long time. They have become experts. Master's degree. They will carry the gen. It will still be working. They will carry it. Reach the fence. It will still be working. Once they climb the fence, you will see, they don't remove the wire. Once they move the wire, you go and be. They will leave the wire for you. You don't go be that. put up that scripture. I think I missed something there. Okay, so we've read that. Now, when I read these scriptures, you know, I had to go back and I downloaded the Living Bible. Luckily, it's still on Google Play Store or Apple Store. I encourage you, if you want to understand redemption, new creation realities, what Jesus has done, go and download the Living Bible. It will break it down. All those Bible verses that you are always afraid of reading, Living Bible will help you because the grammar is simple, but it is still very strong. When you read something like this, you are free. Do you know that the first day I heard this thing, when somebody told me, because I kept giving my life to Christ, but I was never truly saved. Every Friday, I used to come out to give my life to Christ because I used to give my life on Sunday. But the thing was not what I said. Well, maybe people are plenty. People who won't follow God, they're plenty for Sunday.
So I now change to Friday. That since Muslims are the ones that are on Friday, God, we have time to see my. I'm telling you, my innocent child mind was that on Friday, God, the traffic could not be much. So I stopped giving my life to Christ. Once in the fellowship, they say, if you want to give your life to Christ, I raise my hand. I come out. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept you, my Lord and Savior. From today, I'll serve you. Amen. I could not be a Christian for 3 days. Because I was watching myself that, now that I'm a Christian, I should not commit any sin. The 5 seconds that I used to forget that I became a Christian, I will not commit one baban sin, big sin, that by the time I remember, it does scatter everything. I said, they have removed my name from the book of life again. They don't remove the name. This thing is too big. They cannot allow me like this. They said they don't come on my name. From Sunday to Friday until it was on Thursday, and I finally succeeded. You know, it's my story, so I remember. The funny thing is that when I now became a real Christian, I did not even confess anything again. It was in a prayer meeting. Everybody there is supposed to be a Christian. I just rack my life, I find my way there. I enter there, I pray, all of us are shaking. Then the pastor said that we should pray. That God said he wants to touch somebody here. But you know, as we are praying, I was asking God, I said, me, I know I'm a sinner. I'm not one of those that will be dragging that, maybe I'll go to church. I'll be sinner. If I tell you the sins I've committed, you will not allow me to be your pastor. I'm telling you. The sins that I committed, only the heavens can forget. So me, if I say it's a very gentle boy, I could just laugh. These people don't know. Kura, there's something we call Kura. When somebody say Kura, what is Kura? A very stubborn and rebellious. See, an outside this thing. Very stubborn. You'll just be seeing the face like, this boy, I like his very gentle. The thing where this boy, they do. I cannot say it here because my children are here. I don't want to spoil their mind. And they should not ask me at home, please. I've put a disclaimer on. At that level, the burden of sin is such that even as a child, you can feel it. We used to think that children are innocent. As a child, a lot of children know that they are under the weight of sin. That if they die now, they are not sure. That's how powerful the sin is. Sin will not spare you. Once you are matured to know your left from your right, that weight, you will start feeling it. Like, if I die now, that's how I was feeling. Until that prayer meeting, I was praying. I said, I have tried Sunday. It did not work. I've tried Friday. The traffic is not. Today is Thursday. We are the only ones here, all over the world. We are the only ones here. Don't listen to me. Listen to Brother Bidem. Brother Bidem was our pastor. And I sincerely hope that brother is still in Christ. Because I'm here today because of him. I say, Brother Bidem, I say, God, if you can use Brother Bidem, because Brother Bidem is very anointed. If he does do his hand like this, people will be falling under. Someone that can be doing his hand like this, people go, they fall. It means, say, God, they hear her. So, God, make you talk to this man for me. It's the same way some of you will say, let pastor call my case. It's the same way me too. I was saying God should remove somebody to remember me. That's my prayer. I was just praying. See everybody shaking their head. I see their spirit. My own prayer was that all these people, they are not aware that I'm a sinner. They think I'm part of them. Me, I know I'm not a Christian. I know. But I want to know the way out. Nobody explained this thing I'm explaining to you now. If they had explained it to me, I would not have had to go through all the problems I was doing, changing Sunday to Thursday to Friday to Monday, looking for the day that God will be free. All they needed to tell me, put up that scripture, that last scripture. Let me show you what they should have showed me. Now, look in between. Okay, he used Christ's blood and what? Our faith. Can you see our faith? What they should have explained to me was that the moment you give your life to Christ, you must believe. They didn't tell me. What they told me was that if I say I've come to Christ, I will feel something like a big load has rolled away. But my own load was increasing. So I was feeling like, oh, because people used to come and share testimony in church. Oh, I was a sinner, now I'm in Christ. I was a smoker, now I have no desire. Me, when I gave my life to Christ, I now have desire to do bad things. I say, hey, now so it be. But this other sister, she said, the things I used to do, I do them. I say, hey. He said, but we're in the same meeting when we all came out. Ah, God is a letto. Hey, it is. And you see the way they'll be crying on the altar. I do them no more. They say, great joy. I say, when will I talk like this? That assurance of faith. That assurance, that thing that makes you know that God is my father. That thing was not there and I knew it. I know, said the thing no day there. That was what I was looking for. That was what I was looking for. That when I wake up, I know that I am a child of God. I didn't have it. Many people don't have it. That's why they are listening to the universe is blessing you. The universe is going with you. If you do more good than evil, you will go to hell. If you do more good than evil, you will go to hell. If you do more good than evil, you will not make it. It is only the blood of Jesus and our faith in what Jesus has done can save us. Not the amount of good things that you have done. Not the amount of people you helped by the roadside. But as I was praying, God, if you can let Brother Bidemi, if you can let Brother Bidemi, we are about to share the grace. Can you? But Bidemi just came. Hey! Hey! I said today, no traffic. Brother Bidemi just came. He just touched me. Say, God, help this boy. Help him now. Boom! Ah! The anointing just came. Bam! My eyes open. I started seeing visions immediately. From that day, I saw visions. But it was not about the vision, no. After that prayer, I came with my Bible to the school the next day. And I called my friend. I have found something. You need to find what. You need to see. I said, Emeka, you need to give your life to Jesus. I have found it. I found it yesterday. You see, now the assurance was there. I was no more ashamed. I knew I had it. I knew I had it. I knew I had it. I got home. I called my dad. I said, my father said, I will disown you. My father told me. He said, I read this Bible back to back before I married your mother. Who are you? I'm an evangelist. That's what my dad told me. He said, I'm an evangelist. I said, Daddy, but you still need to give your life to Christ. You are telling a pastor that he should give his... My dad almost broke my head. He said, you are the one asking me that day that, how can a man? He said, you went somewhere, you came back, you say you have found... Hey! As long... And that assurance is your thermometer. I said, that assurance is your guarantee. As long as you wake up and he's still there, now everywhere they go. Head on, straight on. The day you wake up and you look for it and you can't find it, start running here. Let me do Bible study with you. Start running to the church. That guarantee, that certificate, that evidence that you belong to Jesus and you still belong to Jesus is what? That assurance that you will know it. The day that thing is not there, you will know. The password to become a child of God is complete faith in Jesus Christ. Not by bathing at the river, not by going to one baba somewhere. It's not even by coming to a pastor. If you go on your knees and say, Jesus, I don't want to struggle again. Eh? I told you how I struggled. It was a serious matter because I felt like I was going to die that period and that I was not ready to meet with God. That's the way I felt.
That's the way I felt. And I've had many opportunities to turn back from Jesus. It is still that same guarantee, that assurance, that could not make me deviate for long. Many times I told myself, I said, forget this thing. Satan told me, he said, look, you will just die. Said, let me close this thing. No, they finish. Satan told me, you will just die. Go out now and enjoy your life. It's not when you are now 50 years old. You now say when is you are 50, start coming to church. By that time, you don't retire. You sit down. Listen to what? Give your life to Christ. If they say jump, you jump. If they say sit down, you sit down. Say, but when you are young, you should enjoy your life. Go out. Do what your mates are doing. And I picked my Bible. I said, it's true. Let us go into the world. We go into Christ. I went. I could not stay for long. Because they say, you don't look like you are part of us. The day I put matches in my mouth and I put fire, matches, so I started coughing. That's the day I knew that the guy is not for me. I drop it. Some of you, you force yourself that this cigar you must, and now, even in your dream, you still smoke. So, yeah. Let me tell you, a lot of people who they are not sure that if they die today, that God will accept them. Today, I'm here to tell you, if you mean it, what God needs is your faith. God will bring the blood. Hallelujah. You bring your faith, God will bring what? And you will be saved forever. The desire to sin, he will remove it. And any day you sin, even if nobody is there, the Holy Spirit will not let you rest. He will not let you say, hey, we know they do this one here. Until you confess and he forgive you, you will not sleep. Though some people now, they have masters in committing sin. If they do something bad, they will leave it for 1 week. They will not talk about it. So at time, we just breeze go carry the thing go. He never go anywhere. I see they are laughing at the back. Hallelujah. This is an amazing truth. And as Christians, we need to know it. Because sometimes you may meet people on the road who don't know this gospel the way I've explained it to you. And they will try to tell you that the only way you can prove you are a born-again Christian is if you don't make mistake. You will now tell them that I am a Christian not because I am perfect. I am a Christian because of what the blood of Jesus has done. And I believe what the blood of Jesus has done. That is why I'm a Christian. Being a Christian has nothing to do with not making mistake. There is no, I'm not saying you will not make mistake. I'm talking about genuine salvation. You cannot pay for it. It's not that you will not make mistake. That's not what I'm talking about. Because some people try to make you feel like, oh, you must live your life in a way you will not make mistake. That's not what I'm talking about today. When we talk about holiness, I will address that one. What I'm talking about is for you to be part of God's family. And so for those of you who talk to people, you preach to them, you share God, you know, you must know what to tell them. Because many people, they believe that they cannot satisfy God. That is why they don't want to join. A lot of people believe that God is too perfect. It's not possible for you to be holy. So why do you want to deceive yourself? Let me continue doing what I'm doing. The day we die, anywhere through us will go. You must know what to tell people about what Jesus has done. When Jesus rose up from the dead, he called his disciples and said, go into the world. Say, go and tell them. Many of them do not know. The reason why we are here today is because some people came to Africa, they came to Nigeria and told us. If there is going to be Christianity in Nigeria in the next 50 years, it depends on us. We must also go out and tell others. So if you are here and you've been battling with guilt, and battling with your conscience, the blood of Jesus is the answer, is the solution. He said, I have given it to you to be sprinkled upon the altar. But do you know that in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says what? It said, present yourself as a living sacrifice. Where do you present a sacrifice? On the altar. Where do you, are we together? Where do you present your sacrifice? On the altar. So that means when you bring yourself, the blood of Jesus will flow. Don't hide again. I want you to live here confident that you are a child of God, that God loves you, and that you love God. And it has nothing to do with how you feel. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us. Lord, I pray for everyone tonight. Let this assurance be amplified in their lives. Amen. For those that are here, let this truth, and those who are listening online, let the truth of your word be ministered to them in Jesus' name. Now, if you are here and you don't have this assurance of faith, please, I would like to pray with you. If you are there, just raise your hand. If you are there and you know that you don't have this assurance, please raise your hand. I want to pray with you. God bless you, my sister. Please come. My brother, please stand up. My brother, please stand up. Please come. I want us to pray together. Today, you are going to have the assurance. When you sleep and you wake up, you will know that God is your father and that you are his child. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That he shed his blood for you? Huh? My brother, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? My sister, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are saved and you are healed of your sins. May the blood of Jesus wash you. Because you have believed today, may you have the assurance of faith. Because you have believed today, may your life be transformed in the name of Jesus. As Jesus met with me and gave me that same assurance and changed my life. In the name of Jesus, may your life be truly transformed. By the blood of Jesus, may your life be truly transformed. By the grace of God, may you become a completely new creature, filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And let's appreciate our friends who are standing here. God bless you. God bless you. Now, on Sunday, I would like to meet with the three of you after the service.